Hello and welcome to The Ascension Show. I'm Kathleen O'Toole. We are so proud to be presenting to you season 2 of The Ascension Show. And we have a great theme. Yay! We have a great theme, we believe, to kick off 2021. And we also have our amazing team, and I'm so proud to introduce them. First off, we have integrative adult and child psychiatrist, paradigm progression pioneer, as well as an international speaker. We're all mothers in this quad here, our Dr. Denise McDermott. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. Next up, we have Ascension Medium, practicing spiritual intuitive, as well as a law enforcement profiler, our Jennifer Schaefer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. And last, not least, we have integrative adult and child psychiatrist. She's basically a world traveler with her wellness retreats that she does, and she's an incredible nutritionist, our Dr. Andrea Best. Good morning, Dr. Best.
Good morning, ladies.
So before I let us take over with our exciting theme, I kind of want to set the stage of where we are. So we are taping today on the morning of January 7th, and there was basically the day after this, I still get the paper. This is my local paper, Assault on the Capitol. And Dr. Denise had a patient who didn't really know what went on. So I'm going to recap, if you don't mind, that what happened yesterday is President Trump held a rally on the Ellipse Wednesday, which ended with a march to the Capitol. Viewers watched live as a very large crowd breached the barricades on Capitol Hill and eventually penetrated the building itself. Protesters forced their way onto both the House and the Senate floors, sending lawmakers scrambling. They were in session to certify the Electoral College vote, and the mission of most of the protesters was to disrupt that process. A woman, a protester, was shot. She died at a nearby hospital. And chaos reigned for the rest of the daylight and into the evening hours. Eventually, the Capitol was cleared. It was made safe. The lawmakers went back to work and they did their constitutionally mandated work. And I'm going to editorialize here and say quite bravely. Ladies, I know we were on a texting thread immediately. Our Jennifer Schaefer alerted us to the news. And I love this group because we have such an interesting way of processing what was really a difficult day for the country.
And so what I want to say is there are no coincidences. The name of the show is Hope in Motion. And so yesterday when there was breaking news, I think all of us can remember at times in history when there's breaking news like this, and this is going to be one of those moments in history. And so I was swimming, go figure, self-care, and I get out of the pool and I see the train of texts, and Kathleen and I thought that starting this season in this show, just being real, that when we got the news, and Kathleen's an Emmy award winning news reporter, who is our anchor in the spotlight, AKA anchor in reverence today.
Yay.
And by the way, I already called her 5 times today, everyone, because I've known Kathleen for so long, to say, I've got a new title. It's not going to be anchor in the spotlight. It's anchor in reverence. So she's anchor in reverence. And so let's just walk through the hope in motion of what we did yesterday in our text thread. And then we're going to go with it for the show. Because so Jen and Andrea, when we were texting yesterday and having those emotions, and Kathleen and I kind of came in late, and we're going to be introducing another important person soon. Can you guys just share some of the feelings you had and like what it felt like when we were all kind of there together supporting one another?
My heart immediately just started hurting. Like my heart hurt for our country that could even happen. And then it was, you know, it brought back all of those feelings of what's happened, you know, over this last year. It actually brought back the last 4 years, like instantly. And just that uncertainty, because we didn't know what people were capable of yesterday and how far it could go. I mean, people were afraid for their lives there. And then just trying to process that. And then you brought up something, Andrea, that was so like that just made, I think that was really when my heart just kind of catapulted. When you talked about Black Lives Matter, and if there was an African-American that was storming the Capitol, you know, what would have happened then, right? If they were the first ones to go through, it would have looked different. Right. You want to talk a little bit more about that? You said some very profound things yesterday.
I wondered, where was the order? Where was the attempt to restore order and to establish a safe space for everyone there involved? So if that is the concern when there are peaceful protesters, like my 14-year-old daughter, peacefully, you know, speaking on City Hall last year, and there were tanks to the right, tanks to the left, and officers with rifles on the top of the building where she was standing outside. So, and these were teenagers in Santa Monica peacefully protesting with this degree, and they're there to establish and maintain order. Yet there was no attempt to establish any order yesterday. It was as if the police officers, it's as if something is in the brain of certain officers in this country and certain authorities and certain people that sees African-Americans, people of color, a certain way and sees all others a very different way. And that whatever it is that clicks on or clicks off in the brain determines whether they act as real officers and establish order, or whether they step back. And it's like an old sheriff's department from Andy Griffith, or you know, Dukes of Hazzard, or what have you. It's like they look bumbling and ridiculous. And I just thought, oh my goodness, someone is going to get hurt. And it brought back all kinds of stories from the South, stories I heard growing up, stories that I heard from family members, stories I read about things happening when there were attempts to segregate schools, when certain amendments were made, when certain laws went into order. It was, and we could see it coming. We could see. So there was no shock and surprise. There was no surprise when it went left. It was just ridiculous.
So now that we just all are here and just going back to that moment, and this is Hope in Motion, I just want to say Kathleen has had this career, this very successful career in news as an Emmy award-winning news reporter. She's actually interviewed past presidents, political campaigns, and one of her big dreams is to be able to present the news like she just did, and then offer some hope and some discussion and going a deeper dive. And so I find it really such an honor, Kathleen. I've known you since we were 10 years old. We secrets out. We were in the little yellow bus together for the gifted program. I was actually jealous of her. She got picked. They picked out of a hat who got to do the first computer class. And I remember that day in fifth grade when she got it and I didn't.
That's how old we are, that it was like really special to get to like log onto a computer.
That's right. And then I remember her when we both finished undergrad. By the way, Kathleen, if you don't know this, Kathleen can kick high. She's also got the pom-pom dance. She was on the dance squad at University of Miami. So she's got some other skill sets besides her intelligence, wit, and beauty. She can do the kicks. Maybe we'll actually have to have you do a kick. So I remember when we finished undergrad, you were like, Denise, you're so lucky. You know what your life path is. You're going straight to medical school. I was visiting her and I remember her. She had this Rolodex. You guys, that's like where we're dating ourselves. We didn't have the iPhone. She had this Rolodex with this routine. Like, I will look for jobs at this time. I will run. She had it really cutely written, like, I will run this time each day. Just
so to on the back of each card, I had who I was contacting at what TV station, when I sent them the stuff, when I tried them one, you know, like because I didn't want to call too much. I wanted to make it perfect. So I would write the date and just organization it pre-iPhone.
Right. So to me, just knowing Kathleen since that age and then watching her have that determination to be a news reporter, seeing her go from age 10 up until now on the screen and just see the evolution of her warms my heart and gives me hope. You know, a lot of us people out there right now are looking for jobs. They want to remember back to times when they didn't know if they were going to get a job. So I was there with Kathleen remembering when she was like, when am I going to get my first job? Did I pick the right career? Mm-hmm. And so it's so amazing to celebrate your devotion to the news, to getting the news. And I want to gratitude, as we know, is all of our secret sauce. I want to also have gratitude, Kathleen, for all the years you devoted being on the front lines, covering these tough stories, risking your life, getting the news for people, really having the integrity. And then also, I know that came with that a lot of times where how do we still have hope? So I think that this now that kind of goes into the universal truth of today, which is hope.
So, right. I mean, I don't think I realized as a young girl with that Rolodex, some of the things that I'd really see. Because I saw the best of humanity and I saw the worst of humanity. And when I was seeing the worst, I always, always, always wanted to try to see that little sliver, glimmer of our better selves. And so every time I went out and got sent out on a story, that was in my, how can I find the inspiring? Because that's what people really in their heart want to know. Really quickly, everyone's like, why does the news give us so much bad news? And it's because that's really what people, you need to know, is my house safe? Is my neighborhood safe? Is my country safe? And when you hear gunshots, I'm sure all of you have, I've been laying in bed when I was a young reporter and I heard gunshots and I wanted to know how safe am I, right? I mean, it's survival. So that's why the news gives you all those things, because we inherently want to keep ourselves safe. So I'm sorry, I went off on a little sidetrack, but I've had stories that were just so, you know, amazingly full of hope. I covered years ago, I covered a tornado that ran through rural Georgia. And this, I mean, it took trailers and flipped them upside down and ripped, peeled back houses. And I was in this woman's house and her ceiling was, I mean, her roof was gone, but there were a few trusses left, trusses of the house. And in her living room, there was a truss and from it was a ceiling fan still hanging. And from that ceiling fan, there was a finial, you know, that you pull the cord. That finial was an angel. And I thought, there's no way this ceiling fan, I could see daylight, yes?
So with that being said, I just envisioned you in that moment with hope and an angel coming in.
Yes.
And I feel like this is a really good time to have the angel of Beverly Bergman to join.
Oh, sure.
Because when you're talking about this glimmer of hope,
yes,
the story, I feel like in season one, we had Bev come in like the angel that comes in with these like highly elevated words and like, let's bring her in, Bev,
She's our prose writer. She has her master's in spiritual psychology as well as consciousness. And she is a champion for children, our Beverly Bergman. Hi, Beverly.
Oh, hi, thank you. Thank you so much. Happy New Year, first of all.
Happy New Year.
And thank you for welcoming to join you on this level.
So I was telling the story, I think you heard it while you were waiting in the wings, about this woman's, her, you know, nothing should have been standing, yet here was a ceiling fan with an angel. And my photographer and I just looked at each other, and I didn't even need to, he was a believer, and I didn't even need to say anything to him. Usually with some others, I'd have to say, now make sure to get a picture of that, you know, make sure to get video of that. And I just looked at him and he's like, you know, his eyes. And we were like, there's something at work there greater than us. So it was very hopeful. Yes.
So we talk about being in the moment of now. Mm-hmm. And when I just heard you say he was a believer, I want to broaden that, because a believer can be a believer in God. It can be a believer in Buddha, a believer in Jesus, but it could be a believer in the human spirit and the hope of human spirit. Because we're such champions, all of us on these screens, of that words, thoughts, and actions are powerful. So when I'm hearing you, Kathleen, I went back to that. Did you guys travel back with Kathleen and imagine her in that room with all the wreckage and just that glimmer of hope? And I think that's something that we're all craving more of when we turn on our media, when we turn on our phones. So this whole show today is about hope in motion. And this is we're going to each go through right now the segment about what hope for a universal truth is for each person, right, Kat?
Yeah.
And I already gave mine. You're my hope. You're my hope that someone can have like the highest level of integrity and desire to give news and data and information in a way that elevates the spirit. So I thank you for inspiring me.
Oh, thank you. Jennifer, hope in 2021.
My hope for humanity is that everyone will understand on some level that they're not alone. Whether it's, you know, if you're with your loved ones in your home, you've won already, right? There's so many people that are alone. But so my hope is that there'll be an awareness that we've discussed in like coincidences, like that wasn't a coincidence, right? With the angel, you know, the first thing I thought of was a cathedral. I'm not even Catholic, but that's the first thing I thought of. And the other side makes us have coincidences. They put those things together to let us know that we're not alone. And it's whether our awareness is there enough to actually see it like you did. So that's what my hope is. That's what I really want for humanity, to know they're not alone.
Andrea?
Yeah, I love the words that you just said, Kathleen. I think there's something in this moment greater than us. My hope is that we remember that, and that greatness is in us, in all of us. We're surrounded by it. It's not far away. It's not some man or thing that's so far away up in the heavens, but it is in us. It is us. It is all around us. There's greatness in all of us. And we, as you said, Jen, we are not alone. We are not alone, but something bigger is definitely going on here. And as we see these images in the news, there's always the understanding that this is something is unfolding perfectly. You know, what you're saying, Denise, it's all divinely.
Okay. It's all divinely fucked up perfect. And we're also not afraid to use the F-bomb, because it's a very powerful word that allows us to go on an ascension path of allowing us to know our feelings and just use them in a way that's powerful. Bev?
Right. So yesterday, I remembered that, Denise, as I remembered Isaiah. I can't remember the scripture, but Isaiah about, you know, hope. It's funny because I have it, you know, on my wall across from a certain place where when I felt like I couldn't latch on to hope or think, you know, sometimes we experience things in lives and in our lives and we're like, I'm in such trauma or shock or feel such despair right now, I can't even remember what used to help me. So I would have that scripture on the wall and would be able to look at that and then be able to remember. But so yesterday I had that, but I also remembered your quote. So thank you, Dr. Denise.
Hope in 2020.
All right, the con.
I just have to come in on that because, I mean, one thing that is showed is that collectively, we really all enjoy each other, right? And right. That I just have to bring in me and say that was fucking good.
We are divinely fractured.
So guys, this pod that's on the screen, if you're listening to this, we have our tribes. We're all here in this pandemic together. We have our tribes of people where we can come together. So that's we're like an embodiment example of reaching out to one another. And that's what we can all do. We can talk to our neighbor, we can reach out. So we just don't have to be alone. We can use humor, we can use profanity, we can use music. Dr. Bess likes to pole dance in the kitchen.
Like I can. It's the fantasy that I can do it.
Yeah. So see, we've got the, so we've taken ourselves from listening to the headlines and going up the ladder through communication, humor, love, reverence, and play. And that's an example of hope in motion.
So let's segue to our next topic that we were going to address. Some people might be listening and say, well, easy for you ladies. Dr. Best really touched on this already. There are some situations, and I can take you there as a reporter for all those years, that are really, there's like hopelessness, right? I mean, I hate to be the downer, but there might be people listening and watching who say, oh yeah, you guys, you've got it all or whatever, right? Well, there are hopeless times. And we kind of wanted to walk you through that. Like I can think of times where maybe as a reporter right then, there was no hope. It was an awful, terrible thing that happened. But as time progressed, out of the ashes rises the phoenix, right? Like that I have an example of when I was reporting, it was about 14 years ago, a couple of days before Christmas, I was sent to a house where a man had, he had barricaded his children inside and he had lit a fire, Molotov cocktails, all that. And there were signs that the children tried to escape and they all died, the three of them. And it was to get back at his ex-wife. Her name's Jenny Carter. I got to know her. She turned that hopelessness into, she continued being a family counselor. She started a foundation. She helped a state senator get a bill passed about parental visitation in custody, those supervised visits when domestic violence was, she climbed up a hopeless ladder. And not to say that she wakes up every morning, I rewatched all the stuff recently. She wakes up every morning thinking this really happened, but she carried on and she proves that you can dig yourself out of hopelessness. Walk me through this. Yeah, Denise.
I just have to tell you that just what happened to me, and I want to relate this to all of you on the screen and to our audience. A couple things. We all process and perceive things in our own unique way, our own neuro style. A lot of people, when you just reported that, Kath, we didn't plan what Kathleen was going to say, everyone. I had no idea today she was about to share that. And the minute she shared that, this is very important for mindful ingestion when you're watching the news or picking up the phone. I did not know. I wasn't prepared. I'm not, Kathleen, you're exactly perfect how you're doing everything.
No, yeah.
I wasn't prepared, but for everyone listening, just like I felt yesterday with what was going, the pulse of the world with the Capitol and the assault, I'm an empath. So when my level of awareness, when you brought up that family and those children that were dying, I went to the scene and I felt their pain and I felt their deaths in real time just now.
Yeah.
So I don't know what their names are, but I want to lift and elevate spirit and integrate that into the stories, that there is no veil. And that when I heard that, my stomach dropped, my body, my feeling, my sensation. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to elevate the spirits of those children that were murdered and also have deep compassion for anyone out there that's ever lost a loved one for hate, assault, lynching, abuse, children that are abused. Because when we watch the news or we hear something like that, for all of us, it's a soul imprint that reminds us of something else emotionally. And we need to go into watching our media or into our own mind and protect ourselves. Still get the news, But we want to help you guys with the hope and motion and the mindful ingestion and knowing your own self, your own awareness of how little or how much, or how to use that to actually elevate your spirit later so you don't stay in that space of despair or hopelessness.
Jennifer, you've had clients come to you in what are hopeless situations, and you've had to help them do that. How do you do that in real time?
So when I have conditioned myself, I haven't desensitized what those feelings are like, but like when you said that, I am used to those stories. I am, you know, I talk to the parents that want to know the last, you know, 24 hours of their child's life before they took their lives. Or so I've conditioned myself to immediately, when you were talking, to just take it into my heart. I close my eyes, I take it into my heart, and I just bless the situation, and I send out what I believe is love, what I believe is kindness. Every good emotion I send out in color. And I just send it back to, it doesn't even matter to where or to who. I take it, when you have a moment, you take it into your heart, it first, you turn, like you've discussed, Denise, you turn that energy and you make it powerful back. You just turn it back, if you can remember to do that. Take a second, because like you said, Denise, you don't want to be stuck with it, those feelings, because you can take that and have it catapult your whole day. And it got, like, I had to learn early on, if I wanted to work with crime, I had to get in and get out. It doesn't mean that I'm not a good person or I don't have feelings. It's quite the opposite. And there's times where I give myself a time limit. I gave myself a time limit yesterday. And so then I get out.
What Jen just said, and what the whole team of the Ascension team, we like to have you guys come away with tools. So I remember when we were little kids, stop, drop, and roll if you catch on fire.
Right.
The one thing for a mindful ingestion is grab and go. But when you grab it, make sure you're aware of your feelings and you have your own tools to mindfully ingest and go and turn it into love. Love of self, love of others, and empowerment. So grab and go, and then have your own beautiful way to alchemize it. And that's what we're giving you examples, but we all want you guys to make it your own.
Yeah. And yesterday was a fucked up day. That was challenging. It took me so long to get out of that.
Yes.
Not, I say it, you know, calmly right now, but bullshit. Yesterday was fucked up for me and for a lot of America. Sorry, Mom.
Oh my gosh.
Got the effort.
That, by the way, on Dr. Andrea, maybe, I don't know if you want to read or just verbalize, Dr. Andrea is such a gifted and eloquent writer, and she wrote the most eloquent, I like get tears when I even think about her words that she wrote on Facebook yesterday. It was so inspiring. And also I felt my stomach hurt yesterday, and I'm like, Denise, you're an empath. Or, do you have food poisoning? Do you have COVID? Why are you feeling this way? And I'm like, I asked the question three times, like we talk, who does this belong to? And for me, it belonged to the pulse of the world.
I woke up sick yesterday. Yeah. I did not feel good.
Same here before it happened. Yeah,
before it happened, and I sat with it. And I'm just, you know, but I also want to acknowledge Dr. Best, I'm so grateful for what you said. I sent that out to everybody, all my friends. It meant so much to me. Yeah, we would love to hear it.
If you can find it. Andrea, can you read it?
So I don't have it in front of me, but I will say, you just said something very important, Denise, and then Jen, you said as well, identifying and being aware of how you're feeling. Sometimes when things happen like that, you're just sitting in shock. And you're listening and you're taking it in. So part of the process to feel better, because ultimately, in no matter the situation, you want to feel better. You want to be able to get from here to there. And part of that is recognizing, what am I feeling right now? Oh, yeah. I'm feeling anger. I'm feeling this. Okay. And then Jen's three things. Who does this belong to? Perfect, perfect, perfect.
And so I just want to honor, let's go there. And we're going to also send this gorgeous picture out to the world, because we need to share this. Here we go. This is from Dr. Andrea Carter Best. If you're fortunate to be her friend and also watch the show, you get these great tools. Okay. Current mood, watching the news. Capitol Hill, this country, this leadership. If one Black demonstrator, just one, had attempted to push through or even knock on the door of those chambers, we know what exactly would have happened in person. This is disrespect for this country, the flag, hypocrisy. This is privilege and lack of leadership and narcissism and delusion. This is also further clarity, for clearly they were never for democracy. People of color watch such goings on in the South with abolishment of slavery, news laws, attempts to segregate schools, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and continue to have hope. Hope with action, hope with dignity, and respect for all people. Hope and faith and expectancy. Hope, but then often with this look.
Oh, Nina Simone's look.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Credit, Dr. Best's son, with this look and mood. Lord, I know you are watching and care. I know you understand my anger and my wonder, my question. Where are all those tanks, men with guns who surrounded the city hall steps where my 14-year-old daughter and peaceful Black Lives Matter teen protesters spoke last year? Where is the order? Where is the real leadership and peace? I pray and meditate for peace in me, within them, and without, and in all the world. Lord, please heal hearts, all of our hearts. How to have hope during these times? Same way we have before, and before, and before that.
Yeah, this isn't the first, right? It's not the first time this has happened in the world. Other countries have been dealing with these types of things in their governments and attempted coups forever. And personally, we've all experienced things. And we've used the same skills and techniques over many, many years, practiced them, practiced, got new tools.
Yeah, and I think that this actually, I think we've kind of covered when we did the outline of the show before this history in the making happened. So it's almost like it could not have been, it's like, I'm so sad that it happened, but it's a way that we can process this together. And we have a whole segment that's called Mindful Ingestion. And I feel like we just kind of in snippets covered mindful ingestion.
Right.
So I think we should just do a quick summary before we go to the next section. What do you guys think? Bev, what do you think of the way I have some thoughts?
And it's interesting because when I woke up yesterday, I actually I was called even before this came out in the news, to just create on the moment this snippet of a prose piece on hope. And it was literally because it was a beautiful sunrise here yesterday. And also in the home that I have in the Northwest, incredible, absolutely incredible. I just want to show you the vibrant colors. It's almost as if God painted this. It does not look real, but the colors that are there and the same hues of the pastels were on our Pacific Ocean here in Southern California. And it was really as if it was so soothing and uplifting. And the colors of the pastels that were there and of the pinks and the radiance, literally God's radiance of this amber glow of sunshine really coming on, giving hope. And all of a sudden too, it is all, yesterday was epiphany. It is, I mean, you just think of that word, epiphany. There is enlightenment. There is literally hope that resonates. Whether or not you are religious or spiritual, there is
hope that does reside when you see something that is absolutely exquisite and you know there is something beyond what is the base of a black and white reality. Interesting words used, isn't it, Dr. Bess, with the black and white and your reference yesterday. So these are the words. It's that hope originates in my heart of love. And it pulsates throughout every cell of my body, nurturing me and going everywhere and being in service, literally in service, not only to myself, but to others. I have chills. How profound was that? Like half an hour before this all took place. And I believe that each of our thoughts, those loving, again, I'm just going to show this again because this is incredible. It doesn't even look real. It looks like some artist just took it impression and painted it. I mean, that is hope.
So thank you, Beverly. Because we're all being in the moment of now and we had one idea for the show, but we're just doing what we're doing, it's very important for me to honor the anchor and reverence Kathleen, because Kathleen and all the other reporters in the world are out there giving us the data. Then we just gave you some tools of awareness, self-love, and altruism and how to be empowered. But Kathleen is a human being who wants to share a story of hope, and we want to honor because we know there is Novell, our ancestors, and her sister. We wanted to make sure Kathleen gave some examples and honored Megan.
So before I talk about my lovely, beautiful, smart sister, I wanted to just take a moment and remind everyone, you said, I'm a human. I was a journalist and I'm a human. And I try my very best every day to be fair, accurate, not be on one side or the other. And I found that many of my colleagues were the exact same way. They were hopeful that they would go out, do a good job, and tell the story in a straight manner. My mind's searching for the word, but the disrespect that journalists are shown now, I'm telling you, I didn't go into that to be a rich person, certainly, or to be a person who had the weekends off or the holidays off. The disrespect shown to everyone, every journalist now, is almost under attack because they're journalists. And it wasn't always that way. And I think we owe it to be a little bit more respectful of everyone around us. There's this whole climate of vitriol, and I just wish it would just, from the boil, go down to a simmer, maybe tepid water. But the girl next door, she goes to a prestigious college, a university in Washington, D.C., and she's home, and she's going to be a journalist. And I texted her yesterday. And I said, are you watching this? And I said, are you missing that you're not in Washington, D.C.? And she said, I don't know. I mean, I feel that journalists have a very important job to do. And I think that I would just implore society to be more civil to everyone, even if you don't necessarily agree with them. Now I am going to talk about my beautiful sister who brings me such joy. We lost her at 31 years old to cystic fibrosis. And I was going to tell you about how hopeful we were her whole life. She was supposed to live till she was 2. She lived till she was 31. Ha ha ha. We were hopeful the whole time. It's a terrible lung disease. It's genetic. But while I was listening to you guys, I wanted to tell a different story about Megan. We took several years to spread her ashes because it was traumatic losing a 31-year-old. And I had time to have my daughter Megan, named after my sister, and I was having my hair done the night before we were spreading the ashes. And I told my hairdresser, I said, I just wish she'd send me a sign. So the next morning, Saturday morning, we sneak out to the beach because you're not really supposed to do this, but we snuck out to the beach in Boca Raton. I'd never been there with my little children in tow. My son was a big Thomas the Train fan when my sister knew him. He had graduated past that. There's this whole wide beach and he runs ahead with his dad and anyway, he comes running back at me. I mean, I'm talking wide Pacific Ocean kind of beach with all that sand. I mean, it was the Atlantic Ocean, I'm sorry. He comes to me and he's like, Mama. And he had in his hand a Thomas the Train car. And I said, how did you get this? We don't have that. Where did you get this? And he says, I found it in the sand. And I said, wait a second. Where in the sand? He goes, oh, I went digging. I said, you mean it wasn't sitting on top of the sand, which is, by the way, very wide? And he goes, no, I dug and I found it. And I said, you knew right where in the beach to dig and find this Thomas the Train? And he said, yeah, Mom, look. And I was like, oh, well, I told my hairdresser, I just wish she'd send me a sign. And to me, that is hopefulness. And, you know, spirit believer, it just was what I needed that day. And that's all I have.
Beautiful.
That's beautiful.
So
I feel like
from here.
I feel like we're such an integrated crew now when we're coming up with segments and we wanted to devote a part to the new normal, but I feel like we're just living the new normal as we talk. It's just great. Already integrated into the show. And so one thing I do need to say about Megan, because I knew her and I babysat her, I just want everyone to know she and I used to dance to the song Rage in the Cage when she was little. And she went on to become an attorney.
Oh, yeah.
Get married, travel the world. Mm-hmm. Wow. This woman, she lived hard.
She was an assistant attorney general for the state of Florida. I mean.
So I just think that's hope in motion. You get this diagnosis, you think, oh my goodness, how long? And Kathleen and I remember at the steps of Schomburg High when we were 14, I was the first person she shared this news, because back when we were growing up, people didn't know how to handle personal information. You were taught to be very private, not share, because also the O'Tooles didn't want that energy of sickness. They didn't want Megan to be raised in a victim mode. They wanted to accelerate. And to me, the way the O'Tooles, Jan and Tony, as parents, remember out there, if you have a child that's diagnosed with anything physical or mental health or your color of skin or your gender or your sexuality, the hope and the energy of love and the way we elevate one another on the news and in our homes can allow someone to have an ascension, beautiful life. So the spirit of Megan and your family is an absolute microcosm of that. And then we were going to do the new normal section, but are you kidding me? Thomas the Train.
That's the new normal for sure.
The new normal is talking about signs. The new normal is talking about the beautiful sunset where God's showing us. The new normal is being in the moment of grace. The new normal is dropping the F-bomb. It's okay. So I know we wanted to wrap up the show with kind of a really beautiful, we were talking about who's going to handle the assignment. And now we're going to be integrating. Bev's going to come in like a Tinkerbell, you guys. You don't know if she's going to come in at the end, in the middle, we're going to shock you. So Bev's going to be like our angel that flies in. And we thought for this section that Jen could share something and we can kind of open our hearts and kind of learn some tools and about hope.
So I have a dear friend in London that I shared with you who ended up with COVID. There's different strains of COVID, as everyone knows right now, that has landed in LA. They found a case in New York. That being said, she was not doing well. And it was really scary for her. And so I kind of went in, and what helps when I know someone's not doing well, whether it's a family member or a friend, I envision them with blankets of color coming down. So I focus my energy, and everyone can do this. I know people think, oh, I can't do that, doesn't work. If you believe in the power of prayer, that's a different form of the same energy. And the more people that do it together, the more powerful it is. And so if you have, like, I think that we have like a healing circle, whether you guys know it or not, I look at you guys as that, because we talk about our highs, we talk about our lows, and we always want to help each other out. And everyone has a group like that in some form. So if you know someone is struggling in any capacity, what you can do is close your eyes and put your hands out like this, because it kind of holds the energy. So I'm having both my hands out with my palms facing up and kind of facing the air, okay? And then you close your eyes, and no matter what color that you think is healing, you blast that to that person as fast as you can and have it go up straight and drop on them. And you can have it come down in a waterfall. You can have it come down. I do blankets that end up like with different iridescent colors that go, that wrap and secure someone, like, you know, that go around. And then I visualize their body at the best, at the very best that you've ever seen them. As, and they're always happy. I visualize them laughing and happy and healthy. And you do that. You don't visualize what they're going through right now. You visualize their endpoints. And then you say thank you and you bless it. Thank you for being healthy. And you bless it. And that's it.
I see you well. Right?
And
you say, I see you well.
Yes, and when Jen shared that with the colors, you know, the more senses we all use, so everyone out there, if you have a news story, or if the Capitol, the assault on the Capitol, or a family member has COVID, because I have someone I care about right now that has COVID, we can do multi-sensory awareness. And Jen just shared a very powerful tool. And we can access, and I sent her an audio drop. You can dance, you can write a card, you can send a note. So I think maybe the shout out for the audience is, think about your way that you have hope in motion.
Your neuro style, as Dr. Denise would say.
Yes. And I just remembered, this is really inspiring, because we can do the order of the show however we want. We've gotten some feedback.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good way to end the show that inspired us and gave me hope. We're going to be sharing a picture of Dr. Andrea's lovely family. After season one, you often reflect, oh my goodness, what are we doing with the show? Is it helping anyone? And on Christmas Eve, Dr. Andrea and her lovely daughter, Kara, and her mom, Anna, made a surprise elf visit. And beautiful Anna, I just want to honor Jesse, because Jesse's here in spirit. He passed away from COVID. Beautiful Anna was with her family, getting so loved into. Anna looked at me and said, I really love that show on gratitude. I even got a gratitude notebook. Mm-hmm. So that gave me hope. And then, Bev, do you want to share?
Yes. Actually, when I spoke on integrity and my own personal integrity, and how it's a little bit difficult because my son at the time, with hemophilia, infected with HIV, gave him his decision to either take ACT or not, and spoke about my personal opinion of what for me integrity was. And as I shared that, someone seeing the show reflected on how it completely changed their linear view of what integrity was into something that was more personal and mm-hmm. and really coming from the center of love. And just as an aside, boy, have we seen integrity in action in what is occurring, what occurred yesterday, and really the follow through of democracy and today.
So we wanted to share that video of Vanny.
Hello, my name is Vanny Aiello, and I was watching the edition of the Ascension show where the group was talking about integrity, and Bev Bergman was sharing about she was being integritous when she allowed her son to make a decision about whether to have a certain vaccination. And it really made a big impression on me because I have a son, an adult son with special needs, and I realized that, you know, out of my own fear of him being okay, I really was making too many decisions for him, and I really needed to be integritous to myself and to him to allow him to make more decisions for himself. That talk about integrity spoke to me on a few different levels. Aside from that, as Beverly explained, how it really had to do with me loving myself to be integritous, that I was meeting my own needs, putting myself first, listening to what was best for me and following that, to bring my own self-love to a higher level. And so I do a process called Word of the Year, where I choose one word that is kind of my guiding force for the year. And I was trying to figure out what word to do. After I watched the program, I chose the word integrity to be my word of the year. And I also shared this with a group that I work with, a meditation group, and they all did the process of choosing a word. Afterwards, I spoke with Beverly, and she told me this wonderful process of taking my word and writing it along the side of the page, and then for every letter to write a characteristic or an attribute that I already possess that has to do with integrity. And I did that process, and it was just so powerful for me. And I just want to thank the Ascension team for the work that they're doing, because it's having a profound effect on myself as well as everyone connected to me. So thank you so much.
So Vanny, thank you. Shout out to Vanny, shout out to Bev, and shout out to all of you who are also spreading love and inspiring others after watching this show, because you inspire us. It's a resonance. And then something really vulnerable and beautiful is when Jen was anchor in the spotlight, I guess the way our group elevated the discussion about awareness and Jen's giftedness, it made her own mother, who's, by the way, addicted to the assignments. Jen's mom loves the assignments that we give. but we asked Jen's mom to share an audio, and there's going to be a picture of Jen's mom and the family. But Jen, can you share the audio that your mom shared?
Yes. Jennifer June, born in July, was one of those surprises. And she has been all her life, but much more recently, and the help she's given me in giving me hope. After my husband passed away of cancer, I was devastated. And I knew Jennifer had this gift, but I didn't realize how much it would help me. And she has. She has given me hope. Hope for things that I never thought would happen, with her means of being able to tell me what my husband has wanted for me and how he has given me hope through her. I have been blessed to have her in our family. She has six other brothers and sisters, and she has been a strong influence on all of their lives. And she's a miracle to me. She's amazing. And I'm so thankful for her and the hope that she has given to me through her podcast, through her, all of her work.
And when I hear that, what came to mind is we're all miracles. So we can be miracles for each other. And that is the hope in motion, that no matter if we're smiling, if we're tapping in spiritually, if we're reporting the news, if we're writing prose, if we're Dr. Andrea, your powerful, powerful words on Facebook, I want everyone to just be inspired that you have that ability to give people hope and love. And we're so grateful that you guys gave us some feedback so we can keep being full of surprises each show to show. We're going to have guests. We're going to have people coming in, coming off screen. We know it's a very ADD society, so we're going to mix it up. Okay. Thank you, guys. God bless everyone.